Okay, today's shiur is Shoftim, Perek Tes Zayin. Shoftim, Perek Tes Zayin, the final perek, the fourth and final perek related to Shimshon. Shimshon's end of his life. What does he do? We know he goes down to Aza and is with an Isha Zonah. Vayavo Eleh, he is with her. He gets up in the middle of the night and he destroys the city, the gates of the city where he is in Aza, and he starts intimidating the Plishtim and causing fear to be instilled in them, hoping for Am Yisrael to be able to be somewhat independent. And afterwards, we have the story of Shimshon and Delilah. He goes and he loves a woman in Nachal Sorek, and her name is Delilah. The officers of the Plishtim say, please find out Delilah, find out from him what's the secret of his strength. A couple of times she asks him and he tells her something that is not true, and it ends up that it was just a setup, and really he still had his strength. And finally, in an unexpected turn, that he finally gives over the secrets. Says, if you cut my hair, then I won't be strong anymore. And Kachave, after he falls asleep, she cuts his hair, and the Plishtim come and enchain Shimshon. They blind him, they cut out his eyes, and in a last gasp effort and tefila, Shimshon says, as he's tied and chained to the pillars of the area where the Plishtim are having a party celebrating their capture of Shimshon, Shimshon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me get Nekama one more time from the Plishtim. He grabs the walls, the pillars start falling down, the whole palace collapses, he kills more, says the Pasuk, on the last day that he killed his entire life, all of the Plishtim, and his brothers go down, get him, bury him between Sarah and Eshtaol, and he judges Yisrael for Esrim Shana, for 20 years. That is the end, really, of the time period of the Shoftim, the official Shoftim. We'll get into two more stories we have over the next couple of prakim, but Eli and Shimsh and Shmuel, even if they're called Shoftim, it's in a different type of sense, as we will see. Okay, so let's get back to the beginning in Perek Tes Zayin. So Vayelech Shimshon, Azasa, Shimshon goes to Aza, Vayarsha Misha Zona, he sees an Isha Zona there. Again, as we've had twice already in Navi, the Chazal either say actually a zona, or the Radak here again says Punta Kisa, it was an inn. He went down, similar to how we just translated by Rachav Azona. And he's with her. La Azasim Lemar, and then to the Azasim, to the people of Aza, it is said, Ba Shimshon Haina, Shimshon has come here. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim says that it was on purpose. Shimshon wanted them to know that he was there. And as we said, he was the only Shofet that acted on his own. He did not act as a team, he didn't have an army, but he acted on his own. He wanted to instill fear into the Plishtim so they wouldn't start up with Am Yisrael. And therefore, La Azasim Lemar, Ba Shimshon Haina, they encamp around him and they are ready to pounce on him by the next morning, but he wakes up and no such luck. Vayishkaf Shimshon ad chatzi alayla, he stays sleeping until chatzi alayla. Some of the mafarshim point out chatzi alayla, maybe it was not a Pesach, because chatzi alayla, like Machas Pechoros, took place at chatzi alayla. Vayakam b'chatzi alayla, again, emphasis, vayechos b'dalsel shara'ir, he grabs onto the shara'ir and the two mezuzos, and he rips it up along with the whole bolt in the door, and he carries it to Chevron, to a place near Chevron, which is an unbelievable feat, in that he was somewhere near Aza, which is on the west side of Eretz Yisrael, and he carries it all the way to Hebron, which is on the east side, but that was what he did. Now we have the main part of today's parak. Vayehi achrichein, vayehav isha b'nachal soreg, ushma Delilah. He loves Delilah. The name, says the Gemara, is very appropriate. Delilah, from the word dildel, to weaken and to lower. The Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Tesma Beis, Rebbe Otanya, Rebbe Omer, imali nikra shma Delilah, re'uya haisa, shetikra Delilah. Even if her name hadn't been Delilah, it would be appropriate. Again, we know every name in the universe is a reflection of the mahus of that item. When it comes to items, when it comes to animals, we know the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings all the animals to Adam, and he calls them all by their name. And he doesn't find one that is a pair for him. What does it mean he calls it by his name? The Netzivim, others say, that he identified the mahus of the item. That's what a name is. It's not just a haphazard, coincidental way of expressing communication. That's what language is. All languages are just a way. Why is this a table? And why is that a chair? Why is that? Because people have accepted to call this a table and to call this a chair and to call this other things. But when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, Kodesh, when Adam Arishon called everything by its name, so that was the mahus of the item. And we believe there are many sources that tell us also the name of a person. Name of a person, even though the name of an item, all other items, even by animals, there's no name that's given to a specific dog. All dogs are klavim. That's it. There's no specific name because there's no hashkacha pratis by each and every animal. There's hashkacha klalis, the Sefer HaChinuch says, in the parsha, in the mitzvah of Mitzorah. But there's hashkacha klalis. But when it comes to people, there's hashkacha pratis on each and every individual. And therefore, the name reflects. So the Gemara says here, Tesla Mebezin Sota, that even if Delilah hadn't been her given name, that would be appropriate because that's what she was about. Why? Dildala es kocho, she weakened his strength. Dildala es libo, she weakened his heart. Dildala es maisav, she weakened his actions. So the Gemara goes through, and the Gemara goes through, quoting Psukim from our parak. Dildala es kocho, dechsev vayasar kocho me'alav, his strength was removed because of her. Dildala es libo, dechsev vatera Delilah ki. Gidlas called Ibo, Dildlas Masav, this Tali Shechina Mine, right? Masav, the Shechina was no longer with him. Ki Hashem Sar Mei Alav. Hashem Sar Mei Alav, and he was lost. That's why Delilah is a very appropriate name for who? It's amazing that the Musar Nevi'im points out that he was the greatest Gibor. The greatest Gibor that we have, and yet what brought his downfall? The fact that he couldn't be a real Gibor, as it says in Pirkei Avos. You know, the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the fourth parak in Pirkei Avos that Gvura does not go by how much one can bench press. The Mishnah says, the four Midos, famous Mishnah in the name of Ben Zoma, the four Midos that we have to scratch beneath the surface to really understand the true definition of the Mida. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezeo Chacham, Halomeid Mikal Adam, a wise man does not mean someone who gathers the most information, but someone who could learn from everybody around them. Shenemar, Mikal Malamda Hiskalti, Ezeo Gibor, number two, Hakovish Es Yitzro. Somebody who kovish is his own Yitzer, Shenemar, Tov Erech Apayim Mi Gibor, Umoshel Baruch. Greater is someone who is Erech Apayim, someone who is compassionate inside, Mi Gibor, greater than a strong person, Umoshel Brucho, someone who controls his Ruach, Milo Chidir, from someone who conquers a city. And the Rabbeinu Yonah and all the other Mepharshim explain, Gvuras HaGuf Shehi Hika Ba'adam Gambe Behemahu. When it comes to Gvura of the Guf, animals also have that. Right, there's nothing unique and special about that. Ubazelo Diber Benzoma. Benzoma is not talking about that. Physical brute strength, because that's not something special or unique. Somebody gets strong, and therefore he's as strong as a lion. So what? Animals can reach that too. That can't be something special and unique about humans. Klonikres gvura ach migvuras halev sheyesh ba shnei kochos lios gibor b'milchama v'leichfachei libo la'olam v'gam koach kvishas hayetzer. A behema doesn't have gvura. A behema can't really be a gibor. The alze omar shahakoach haamitz v'hachazak migvuras halev hu akovish es yitzro ki abigibor b'melchama eino davar gadol kol kach. To be strong in battle, that's not so great. Ukamoso kimoein. There's a lot of people like that. But kvishas hayetzer, very very unusual. And of course, who do we know in the Torah? The Avos Yitzchak was the mid of gvura. He was able to be kovish his own mahus. He didn't have a mahus. He was ready to give and sacrifice his whole life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ironically, the greatest gibor, we call him Shimshon HaGibor, his ultimate downfall came by the fact that he wasn't a real gibor in terms of the Benzoma sense of the word. Ezeo gibor HaKovesh Es Yisro, he couldn't do that here. He went to an Isha Zonah, and also he went to Delilah. And that's what the Musar Nevi'im says. Ein locha gibar ba'olam yoser gadol mishimshon, u'mikol b'cholzen is dal de la gvuraso, mach mezeh she'yefshar ha'yelol is gaber al yitzro, v'lefrosh es atzmo midei nashim nachriyos. So that was whether they converted, they didn't convert, machlokas rishonim, we said the Radak and the Rambam says they converted, Rashi might say they didn't, but either way, it was definitely, came from Taifa. Okay, so we continue. So the Sarnei Plishtim go up and say to Delilah, Patioso, please seduce him, Uri'i Bame Kocho Gadol. Go see what is the secret of his strength, Bame Nuchalo, how could we overtake him? So she says to Shimshon, please tell me, what is the secret of your strength? And Shimshon says, if you tie dry branches on my arms, then forget it, I'm gonna be like a regular person. She does, and while he's sleeping, she says, pasuk Yud Vatomer to Lila El Shimshon. Even before that, Vatomer Elav, while he's sleeping, she wakes him up and says, "Plishtim Alacha Shimshon." Shimshon, wake up! It's the Plishtim. And he wakes up and he rips off the ropes. And it's unbelievable that he fell for it over and over again after she says explicitly, "Plishtim Alacha Shimshon." And it happens twice. And it happens three times. He keeps giving her a different idea of what might be the secret. Vatomer Delila El Shimshon. Finally, pasuk Yud Gimel. Adheina Isalta Bi Vatabe Like Savim. What are you telling me all these lies for? Hagidali Bemati Aser. What's the third one that he tries before he totally tells them the truth? Vayomer Ela pasuk Yud Dalin. Im Ta'argi Es Sheva Machlofos Roshim Hamasaches. If you take my seven braids of hair. Sounds like he had his hair braided. My seven braids of hair, if you tie it to the loom, and in that way, I'm finished. And then she does it again, and obviously it's a lie. But it's clear, interesting, that he had seven braids of hair. Why was his hair braided? Says the Binyan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Mivilna, a fascinating suggestion, in Simen Yud, maybe it's based on a Rambam. The Rambam says in Ilchas Bias Mikdash, we know if somebody has very long hair, they're not allowed to go into the base of Mikdash. Now let it go in. That's Prue Rosh. Right? It's one of the Psule Avoda. Says the Rambam at the end of Ilchus Bias Mikdash, at the end of the first Perek. V'chein Aser L'chal Adam Bein Kohen Bein Yisrael. It's also for anybody. Likanis L'mikdash Kulo Mitchilas Ezras Yisrael V'lifnim. To go in. Harabai is fine, but you can't go from the Ezras Yisrael. What's the Ezras Yisrael? The first 11 Amos on the east side of the Azara. The first 11 are the Ezras Yisrael. The next 11 are the Ezras Kohanim. Up until you get to the Mizbeach. And then after that is just the Azara. So you can't even go to the Ezras Yisrael Kishu Shasu Yayin after he drank wine, O Shikar, or he's drunk from wine, O Perue Rosh, Derech Nivel, or he has his hair growing in a disheveled fashion, Derech Nivel, O Karua Bagadim, or his begadim are torn. Afal pi she'ena basara. Why? She'ena kavanu mora. Lebeis ha'gabais ha'gadov ha'kadosh. She'ikanis lo menuval. It's inappropriate to go in like this. But then the Rambam adds a line, which the Mefarshim, I'm not even sure where he gets it from. Aval Yisrael she'gadol sairo. But a Jew who has long hair, ad she'nasa mechlefes, until he braided them. V'lo haya derech nivol, and it's not disheveled in a messy way. Harei ze mutter likanis ha'sis Yisrael. You could go in. What do you see from the Rambam? When the hair is braided and neat, so then even if somebody has long hair, it is okay. Somebody has it neat. Where does he get this from? So suggest to Binyan Shlomo, maybe that's the message of our pasuk. That it says that Shimshon's hair was braided. Why? Because Mistama, he was a Nazir, he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. Mistama, he had to go into the Beis HaMikdash, not the Beis HaMikdash, but the Mishkan at the time. And that is why, in Shiloh. And that's why, possibly he had braided hair. See, he would be able to go in. What about Alila Regel? What, he didn't go do the Mitzvah of Alila Regel, assuming there was such a Mitzvah in Shiloh every year? So it must be that's what he did. And then he says possibly the same thing with Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel Hanavi, we know, was a Levi. Shmuel was a Levi. He had to go sing in the Azara, or he had to go lock the doors. Either way, but how did he go in? He was Perei Rosh. He had long hair. The answer is maybe he, like Shimshon, would have had his hair braided. But that's what the Binyan Shlomo Mivilna suggests on this pasuk. He says to her, take my seven braids. So you see, he had braids. Maybe this is the ultimate source of the Rambam, that the Rambam thinks, why did he have braids? It must be that you're allowed to go into the Mishkan with braided hair. That's not called Derech Nivel. So what happens at the end? He lies again, and finally she says to him, you don't love me. But Tamrei love, she goes for the jugular. Says, you don't love me. That's the truth. That's why you're not telling me. Eich tomar avtich v'limcha eniti. Zeh shalosh pamim esal tabi v'loi gad tali. Right? The girl knows how to get the guy. You don't love me. That's why you're not telling me the truth. Bameko chagadol. Vayhi ki tzikalo bedvareh kol hayomim. She pushes him and pains him and pains him. She doesn't stop. And finally, what does the pasuk say? Vatiksar nafsho lamus. He can't take any more. He'd rather die. She's making life so miserable for him. Fatikser nafsho lamus. Remember, the Torah is, the Navi is never, uses words that are, exaggerated unless it's on purpose. But this is extreme. Fatikser nafsho lamus. It's unbelievable if you think about it. How is he convinced? Three times she says, the plishtim, the plishtim, the plishtim. And yet, he doesn't take that as a warning. And he gives her the secret finally because of a tikser nafsho lamus. The Mefarshim explained that this is a musar haskel for us, that sometimes if we do one thing wrong, it's kind of like avera goeres avera. The Mishpat Zozav expands on this, that once he was with this woman, because he wasn't supposed to be with this woman, this plishti woman, one thing leads to another, and then he becomes flexible and soft with her, his guard isn't up, and he spills the beans, he tells her everything, and that is exactly what happens with the Yetzer Hara. We do one thing wrong, and another thing, we become soft, we don't have our guard up, and in that way, we're able to fall. Vayaged lo es kol libo, and he tells her everything. Vayomer lo, he says, I've never cut my hair. Mor lo ala roshi, ki nizir elokim ani bibet animi. Galachti, you cut my hair, v'sarer menu kochi, and that's it. I'm going to be like anybody else. V'chalisi v'yisi k'chal adam. And the pasuk says, v'tera delila ki higidla es kolibo. She sees that he's telling the truth. How does she see? How does she know that this one's the truth? Ask the Gemara. How does she see this one's the truth? So the Gemara has two different deyos. Number one is that he mentions Shem Hashem here. Ki nizir elokim ani mi beteni mi. All of a sudden he mentions Shem Hashem. He mentions Shem Hashem. That's enough. Right? That's what the pasuk says. And that's what the Gemara says in Sota, again, Tesma Beis, Mina Yada, Amar of Chanin, Amar Rebbe, Nikarin Divrei Emes. Number one, and Rashi quotes this, sometimes you can tell when the truth is being discussed. Number one. Number two, Abaya Amar, Yada Bo Boso Tzadik Delo Mafik Shem Shemayim Levatala. She knows that he doesn't mention Shem Hashem for nothing. Kivan to Amar Nizir Lokimani, Amra Hashta Vade Kushtaka Amar. She knows that this is the truth now, so she's ready. She calls the Plishtim and says, guys, now it's the truth, now it's time, cut the hair. Why was it the hair? Why was it the hair that Dafka had his strength? So remember, like we said before, this isn't real Gvura. Real Gvura is inside. So this is physical Gvura. So maybe symbolically, this Gvura is something external. It's symbolic of the hair. The hair is something external. Yes, there was a Ruach Hashem on Shimshon, but as we pointed out, that Ruach Hashem is only mentioned in an earlier Prakim. It's not mentioned here until it's removed. So it's removed from him when he wakes up in the morning without his hair. But that's the symbol of the Gvura being focused on something external from Shimshon. So that's what happens. Delila cuts his hair, as we know. Vatiyashnehu al birkeha. He falls asleep on her legs, on her knees. Again, symbolically of giving into the Yetzahara. Vatikra lo ish, vatagalach esheva machlefos rosho. She cuts his braids. Vatochen la anoso, vayasar kocha me'alav. His koach leaves. And the plishtim come and finally take him. He wakes up and says, Eitzek efam befam, be no air, I'm going to do it again. Fuhu lo yada, ki Hashem sar me'elav. He does not realize that Hashem has been removed from him. The Mishnah tells us also in Sota that this was, as we know, Mida keneged Mida. He followed his... Well, actually, let's read the next pasuk for a second. Vayachzu plishtim, the plishtim grabbed him, vayinakru es einav, they blind him, and they bring him down to Aza, and they put him in jail. The Mishnah says at the end of the first parak in Sota that Mida keneged Mida, Shimshon halach achar einav, Shimshon followed his eyes, like we had earlier, Lefichach nikru plishtim es einav. That's why the plishtim knocked out his eyes. Shneamar vayachzu plishtim vayinakru es einav. So Shimshon's was with the eyes. Avshalom, continues the Mishnah, nisga'e b'sa'aro. Avshalom took a lot of pride in his hair. Lefichach nitzle b'sa'aro. That's why when he was on his horse, he gets caught, as we'll Hashem learn in Sefer Shmuel. He gets caught on his hair. That was his downfall. Lefichabal eser pilak she'aviv. Lefichach nidru bo eser lunvios. Again, mida kenegen mida. This is the idea. Also, Latova, the Mishnah says, Miriam waited for Moshe, and therefore all of Klal Yisrael waited for Miriam. Yosef was buried, Yizocha, to bury his father, he was buried by Moshe, etc. And again, Mida Keneged Mida, the Mefarshim explained, is not just, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, rewards you in this way, but it's something natural. Hashem set up the world in this way, of Mida Keneged Mida. That's part of the justice, part of Tzidkascha Tzedek La'olam, that whenever we act, in whatever way, we are going to get it back, Latov or Lara. So that's what happens. The Plishtim take Shimshon down. He thinks he has his strength, but obviously it's lost. Vesani Plishtim, they gather now to make a Zevach Gadol L'Dagon. We are now introduced. We haven't had this god yet. The god of Dagon. We're going to have this at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, because that's right. That's what right beforehand. Beginning of, right, the next few Prakim, as we said. It's not chronological. They took place during the time of the Shoftim. So they gather to celebrate with Dagon, their god, Ulasimcha. They say Barach to Dagon that our God has given Shimshon in our hands. They make him parade and play, and Vayomru Kila Shimshon Yisachek Lono. They take him out of jail, and they make fun of him, and finally Shimshon turns to his the boy that hasn't been changed and says, please let me lean on these pillars, and he puts his hand on his pillars. The Pasuk says that there were 3,000 people on top in this party, and Shimshon calls to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's amazing. In Pasuk Chavches, there are three Lashonos of Hashem. He talks to Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Vayikra Shimshon, Ela Yudke Vavke. Vayomar, Hashem Elokim. Zachreinina, Vachaskeinina. Please remember me, strengthen me. Achapamazeho Elokim. He keeps mentioning Hashem because he wants this. Vi'inakmanakam achas. Mishteinai, Miplishtim. Let me get revenge for at least one of my eyes. What do you mean, one of my eyes? Rashi says he wants to save one of his eyes for Olam Haba. He says, fine, I'm going to get hurt now, but I'm going to get run reward. Please, let me get strength. He wants to keep one for Olam Haba. But Rashi also says, quoting Chazal, why does he want to get his vision back, or not vision back, let me at least get reward for one of my eyes, so to speak, as if he's getting vision back? V'lo amarti le'echan mehem, haver li makel ze mimakom l'makom. Says Rashi, we know the pasuk says ki ashochad ya'aver einei pichim. Shochad, bribery, causes blindness, the pasuk says. Shimshon doesn't want anybody to think that he was blinded because he took anything inappropriately from Am Yisrael. That's why he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me my vision back so I could be honest in the eyes of Am Yisrael. It's a fascinating story. The Chidah quotes. It's quoted in the Mishpatzah, in the Ben Yehoyada and others. The Chidah quotes the story of Rabbi Chaim Kapusi Baal Hanes. He was a dying. He was a judge in Mitzrayim who lost his eyesight. And people started being Maranein, making rumors about him. Oh, he lost his eyesight. He must have taken Shochad. And he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, what a Chilul Hashem is taking place. At least give me my eyesight back so that I would be able to show people that I wouldn't take Shochad. And the Chidah writes, Hashem answered him. And he got his eyesight back, and the Chidah says, I saw his signature when he was blind, and his signature afterwards. And when he was blind, you couldn't read it. You couldn't make out the letters. And afterwards, it was perfect. So, suggests the Ben Yoyada, maybe it's the same idea here. Shimshon David says, please, please, I don't want people to have rumors about me. You know, please, yes, I know I'm punished, but, you know, I want to be able to not have these rumors, this Lashon Hara, about me. Maybe that's why he only asked for one of his eyes. I know one of my eyes, I was supposed to get punished for following my eyes. But at least the other one of my eyes, please, help me get it back. So what happens, we know, Shimshon grabs onto the pillars, one with his right hand, one with his left hand, and he says the famous phrase, Tamus Nafshi and Plishtim, which basically means, I don't care if I go down, let me just go down with them. So they go down, let me die with the Plishtim, and that's what happens. Vayet Bekoach, Vayipa Labayas Al Asranim, the whole house falls on the 3,000 people on top, and maybe more, and Shimshon killed more people the last day than he did his entire life. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, on the pasuk Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, which is the pasuk by Shevet Dun, says the Ramban, Lo Haya Bechal Shoftei Yisrael. There was not one other shofet. Kinisha Nafal Biyad Oivav. He who fell on the hand of his enemy, Zulasi Shimshon. Shehu Anachash Hazeh. That's referred to in the pasuk in Vayechi. There was no other shofet that was defeated except Shimshon. Hashem was always with the Shoftim. We had earlier, V'hu hayaha achron l'shoftim. The Ramban's Lashon. He was the last of the Shoftim. He knows Shmuel, he knows Eli. But the last one, really, why? Ki Shmuel Navi haya, V'lo nilcham lohem. Shmuel is called Shmuel HaNavi, not Shmuel HaShofet. He has some elements, but he's really a Navi. U'biyamav malchua malachim. And then he started the time period of Malachim. As we know, Shmuel anointed Shaul. V'kasher ra ha-Navi teshuas Shimshon ki nifsaka, when Navi, meaning Yaakov Avinu, saw that Shimshon was going to have be defeated, that's when he davens for him. Lishuas chat, for your Yeshua. Ki v'si Hashem, I'm davening for the Yeshua, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shimshon I see is going to be defeated. Not, I don't want the Yeshua of a Nachash, but I want your Yeshua. That's the Ramban in Vayechi, saying that he, Shimshon needs your help. So what happens? Shimshon is defeated, and again he kills more that last day that he killed his whole life. All the Achronim get into the action here in terms of how is he able to do this in terms of committing suicide. Right, there is an Issa Daraisa of committing suicide. How is he allowed to commit suicide? So, most Mefarshim, the Yamshel Shlomo in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, suggests, well, anytime there's a prevention of Chilul Hashem, then that's Doche. Right, Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, at least according to one version, falls onto his own sword. How is he able to do that? The Shaul, the Mashiach Hashem. Well, he didn't want Chilul Hashem. He didn't want the enemy prancing around with his body. So that's how Shaul HaMelech did that. And there are other stories in the Gemara about this, but suggests the Achronim, it's the same thing with Shimshon here. He was able to do it. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a Tshuva and Choshe Mishpan and Chelek Beis that maybe it was our Rasha. Right, it was maybe to instill fear into the Plishtim so they don't start out with Am Yisrael anymore. And he was doing it for the good of the Tzibur. Like Rabbi Chanina Betradion. Remember the story where he has the wool removed so he burns faster? That was a little different there. It's passive. This is active. But either way, there is some flexibility in terms of in terms of this. And finally, the Pasuk says, his brothers, Vayedo Echav, came and buried him, which the Barbanel points out, what do you mean brothers? His mother was an Akara. She was barren. It must be, once she started having babies, that she had more babies. Shimshon was the first, but then his brothers came. Unless it just means relatives in general. And he was buried between Sarah and Eshtoal. And he was Shofet Yisrael Arba'im Esrim Shana, 20 years. The Radak points out at the end, even though it says earlier that he was already Shofet Yisrael, but there it was really his climax, his pinnacle. And that's why in the end of Perek Tezvav, it already says that he judged. Usually that's only the sum up Pasuk. By every shofet, and already said the last pasuk in Perek Tezvav that he judged 20 years. But why does it repeat it here and earlier? Because there it was the pinnacle. Here it was also somewhat, but it was also a tragedy in that he died. So this ends really the story of the shoftim, even though we now continue with a couple more prakim in Sefer Shoftim. Okay, we'll stop here.